Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And unlike the two-year anniversary where we used to hit Cinco on time, we are 8 minutes late. And Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. We've discussed it a lot today, the passing of Hulk Hogan. So I'm going to give you the top five moments from the Hulkster's career.
Ooh, It's a good one.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Mega Powers explode. WrestleMania 5, New Jersey, down the shore, Atlantic City, Trump Plaza. In my opinion, one of the great storylines they've ever done. We discussed it a little bit earlier with Hogan and Savage being jealous that Hogan is sort of guffawing over Miss Elizabeth. Savage turns on him. You know, he won the belt. He helped him earlier at 4, and then Hogan gets the belt back at 5.
Yep, classic match. Classic match. I own that VHS WrestleMania 5. Watched it about 112 times.
Well, wait a minute. You still have Peacock now. Don't you just get rid of the VHSs?
I meant when I was a kid.
No, but you've gotten rid of them, I assume, now. They're not in your basement somewhere.
I don't have any VHSs. I don't know where they are. Yeah. I'm not sure if my parents kept it. I have no idea. But I owned 2 WrestleMania VHS tapes. WrestleMania 5 and WrestleMania 9.
I think
I watched them a million times.
Now would be less the tapes and more the machine.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, what the hell is playing it?
Right.
There's no way a VHS machine still works.
All right.
Here we go.
Number four.
Hogan, as we know, went on to WCW, so he was gone from the WWFE for a while, but then he came back, and they formed, or not formed, but they brought in the NWO, and this is a two-parter. The match at Mania against Rock in Toronto, where everybody thought Hogan would get booed and The Rock would get cheered, and it was the direct opposite of that. Hogan was cheered. He almost was the babyface in the match. So it's the match and then the next night on Raw, which I believe was in Montreal, gets the 10-minute standing ovation through the break, through the commercial break. I have never seen that ever in wrestling. I don't think they thought he'd get that reaction to the point where he beats the son-in-law a month later. He beats Triple H, which nobody did back then, to win the belt.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. That WrestleMania was special, and it was booked so well. Like, because Hogan couldn't really move as well, but it's just the way they built that match, the way they drew it up, Rock versus Hogan at 18, that was tremendous.
Here we go.
Number three.
Number three, Evan's dad in the building. At least I think he was in the building. At the Garden, he was not there.
For what?
What do you mean for what?
Beating the Iron Sheik?
He was not there for that?
No.
I thought he would sell posters outside, or not posters, programs. Outside
when he was young, by that point, he was a father.
So a father can't go to a wrestling show and sell posters outside? Is that
No, he was a CPA. It was prior to his CPA.
Accountant, but okay, a CPA. Well, anyway, number three is Hulk Hogan winning the WWF title for the first time, beating the Iron Sheik. Hulkamania was born, and wrestling has never been the same since.
Yep, seen that clip a million times. Iron Sheik said he would humble Hulk Hogan. He said he would do a few other things. He didn't do it.
Yes.
Number two.
Bash at the Beach, 1996. Whose side is he on?
Whose side is he on?
I could still hear Bobby Heenan saying Hulk Hogan betrayed WCW and Tony Schiavone saying, Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. It was just, to me, that period of wrestling, we could argue the periods of wrestling is the best wrestling, the Monday Night Wars, and it was really, truly launched that night as Hogan joined the NWO. The coolest thing, in my opinion, in wrestling history is the New World Order.
And number one.
Number one.
Number one.
WrestleMania 3. The irresistible force meets the immovable object, Hulk Hogan, in front of 90,000 people, body slams Andre the Giant to retain the title.
Very good. I mean, it's tough to argue with that list if we're picking positive Hulk Hogan moments. Like, if we were doing negative Hulk Hogan moments, then the list would look very different. But I agree with that. You know, slamming Andre.
Whose side is he on?
The heel turn, The Rock. The Warrior match was great. Even though I didn't like the outcome Tiki did when Warrior beat him at 6. That was tremendous.
The ultimate challenge.
Yeah.
That was.
We finally saw Hogan lose in a clean way, like for the first time ever in the modern Hulkamania era.
And in true Hogan fashion, it was more about him losing than the Warrior winning. They actually showed him leaving on those little like mini rings that they would bring him to the ring. So it was a lot about Hogan losing and not, it was about Warrior winning, but a lot about Hogan losing.
No, that's what he was like, man. It was about Hulk Hogan.
No matter what.
That's right. Well, very good list there, Tommy. For those that are just tuning in, we did lose Hulk Hogan today at the age of 71. We talked all about his legacy, the good, the bad, the ugly. You could rewind to the top of the program at 2 o'clock. Now, real quick, before we get back to your calls, WFN and the digital team have done a great job of presenting a quarter century team. Because believe it or not, we are 25 years in to this new century. And so they had everyone around here vote. I voted, Tiki voted, Tommy voted, G voted, Boomer voted, BT voted, Sal voted, Big Mac voted, McPherson voted. Like, everybody basically voted. I did hear that Al Cintron, I love Al, but Al writes me and says, you know, they left me out. I didn't get a chance to vote. And I said, is that true, Al? I was very upset.
Right.
I look at the email chain. He was emailed.
So he just didn't vote.
He didn't check his company email. I'm like, Al. He's like, well, I don't check that email. I said, well, you have to. You can't say you weren't asked to vote when they asked you to vote.
But unlike you, because they don't send it to your company email.
Yes, they do.
They send it to you.
They send it to both. They send it to my company email plus my personal.
Right, so Al just doesn't get both.
Hold mine! I mean, you got to check your company email. This is on Al. I love Al, and I wish he voted, but come on.
And I love Al, too, but how do you not? How does one not check?
What would have swayed? What would have been different?
I don't know.
There was a couple of tiebreakers that came down to this.
There were.
See, I didn't know that there were any tiebreakers.
It was a very big one.
Well, we're about to do the baseball one. Are there any baseball tiebreakers?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go through the positions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you if I agree or disagree, you too, Teak. Right. And then when we get to the tiebreaker, you let us know, okay?
Okay.
Right,
okay.
And then we got to discuss what Al would have done.
Okay, fair enough.
And if anybody tries to spin this in a positive way, you can kiss my ass.
The catcher was Mike Piazza. I got to tell you. And
over
Jorge Posada, really. I love Mike. When you look at the fact that Posada was here for so much longer during this century, was a part of two championship teams. You were eliminating 99 and 98 with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half of some great stats and success. I think you can make a great argument for Posada. In fact, I kind of would. I mean, was Mike a better player? Of course he was. But if we're talking about this century?
How much of Mike Piazza's Met tenure contributed to him being a Hall of Famer?
Half of it. I mean, it's half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah. He's half a Dodger. I think he had better years with the Dodgers, but he got to a World Series with the Mets.
But he's still a Hall of Famer.
100%.
And that's what I think that's what sways people. Even if it's just how you feel about him, not the actual statistics that matter.
I think what swayed people is they just look at Mike and say he's better than Jorge Posada, which no one is going to argue with, or at least most people wouldn't argue with. But if we're looking specifically at the century, we are now eliminating 99 and 98, I think Posada has a slight edge.
Not to mention his 10 years with the Dodgers and his non-Yankee or non-Met.
But that doesn't count because I was in the 90s anyway.
I know, that's what I mean.
So, right, I'm eliminating that.
But I'm telling you, some people will look at him and say, oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That includes the Dodgers.
No, I agree. And you're going to see a lot of this because I hate to jump to center field, but Carlos Beltran defeated Bernie Williams. And I know that there were a lot of Yankee fans that were like, how could you do that? It's actually not even close. Like, it's almost embarrassing to suggest Bernie over Beltran, especially when you're just including this century. It's 2000 and beyond. And so if you're just thinking about what Bernie did for the Yankees, and that's it, and how Beltran struck out against Wainwright, sure, I could see why you'd say Bernie Williams. But if you're following the quarter century rules, it's clearly Beltran over Bernie, and we got that right. Pete Alonso at first base is the correct answer, but it's close. He has the edge on Teixeira.
Mm-hmm.
He has the edge on Giambi. If you look at the stats, Giambi is closer to Alonso than Teixeira is. But, you know, Mark played great defense. He was a part of that 2009 championship team. I know that championships may push some over the edge, but I think overall we got it right. Pete Alonso's the first baseman. Second base is Robbie Cano. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. You can argue Daniel Murphy or Jeff McNeil over there, or are you good with Robbie Cano, the Yankee?
Robbie's fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter is the shortstop. You mentioned yesterday that there was someone at work here who voted for Jose Reyes.
That's correct.
It's Derek Jeter.
Of course.
Third base.
Tie.
Third base was a tie.
This is where we had a tie. And we had a vote off. And perhaps if Evan would check his company emails, he would have voted in that vote.
I was in Europe.
You were in Europe. What does that have to do with checking your email?
So you voted on the whole thing before you left for Europe.
Correct.
And so when you got an email while you were in Europe, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it, but I did get a text saying, have you voted? And I said, of course I voted. I was the first person to vote. I got bad news for you, though. If it was a vote-off between A-Rod and David Wright, here's a point I want to make. It's very, very close. And I think it's closer than people realize.
For David Wright?
I would have voted for Alex Rodriguez. I would have.
So you'd have won anyways.
Yes. Right. And I want
what
to
do you think Al would have done?
Al would have voted for David Wright. No question. He's a shill.
So Alex still would have won.
He's a Met fanboy.
I'm kidding, Al.
Hold mine!
I'm kidding, Al. I don't know what Al would have done, but A-Rod and David are very close. Like, if you look at their numbers, because remember, it's A-Rod from 04 when he joined the Yankees, and it's David's entire career.
Right.
I think the edge that Alex has is the championship. Like, David Wright said it in a ceremony. He apologizes for not delivering a world championship. A-Rod did, and he was the best player on that 09 team, or at least one of the best players on that 09 team. I think the numbers are close. The steroid stuff, I'm sorry. Like, I don't disqualify people because of the steroids.
Right. Nobody thinks about it anymore.
If you choose to, that's fine.
Right.
I don't. But I think it's very close between Alex and David.
Now,
is my point.
I heard secondhand, a little birdie told me that the swing off, I almost said, the vote off between A-Rod and David Wright was one vote. A-Rod won by one vote.
Wow.
Now, the urban legend goes is that that one vote, who must have been the last vote, was casted by Boomer Esiason. Again, secondhand, but it sounded like Boomer tipped the scales. You would have voted for A-Rod anyway, so
I would have voted for A-Rod.
It wouldn't have mattered. But
it was tough.
It's like, neck and neck.
First of all, you voted for who you voted for. So all I'm doing is voting again for A-Rod because I voted for A-Rod to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I'm admitting that it was difficult. I think it's a lot closer than people realize. I am happy that it was a tie. I guess it shows that people do realize that it's very, very close. But I do think Alex had the slight edge. And we got it right. So
clearly the swing states, the people that voted for the Green Party, because obviously it would have ended in a tie again. So the people like you, Evan, that vote for Ross Perot voted for A-Rod.
What?
I mean, what?
I don't know what you mean.
Somebody had to have re-voted for A-Rod as opposed to David Wright.
Or no, someone voted for someone else.
Exactly. There was a third party, Tiki. So a third baseman that we're not thinking of.
Can I ask you a dumb question? What third baseman are we not thinking of that would have gotten a vote outside of David and Alex?
Wow, you're the base. Like, think of the third baseman.
Let's go through it.
I know.
I mean, Mark Vientos. Who's been playing third base for the Yankees? Chase Headley?
Urshela.
Gio.
Happy fella.
Scott Brosius, technically.
No, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about this, why the hell did we have a vote off?
Because there might have been a third vote, or did Boomer change his vote? See, this
honestly, so the only reason you'd have a vote out would be if people changed their vote.
Or if someone voted for another third baseman that we're just not thinking of, which is what we're trying to figure out.
I don't remember the list now.
He's right about Gio Urshela. Like, he was a guy.
But I got you. The vote off was just the two.
Right. Correct. So someone else could have been like, hey, I voted for a third baseman. It's not A-Rod or David. You'd have to get your head examined if you did, by the way. And then they came back and said, oh, okay, so it's only these two. It's a runoff. I'll vote for him. But who would have voted for somebody not named Alex or David? It was a runaway.
And also, we lost your vote. So it was.
Maybe the story was that I got it wrong from the secondhand person who might have got it wrong from the first-handed person is that maybe Boomer changed his mind and that's what swayed it. Because three ties across all the sports. This is the only one in baseball.
Well, you got to get your information. If someone changed their mind, then
Pete normally has good information for me, but this time he might have been a little off on his.
I think the outfield is right, Judge in right, Beltran in center, Matsui in left. I got no issue with any of that.
Agreed.
I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. I think that's very set. The bullpen was Mariano, obviously. Mm-hmm. Edwin Diaz is the main setup man, absolutely. And then John Franco. I love John. Again, if we're doing the quarter century, John Franco was no longer the closer in this century. He was a setup guy. The answer is Armando Benitez, as much as people may hate it, or Billy Wagner,
Betances,
or Aroldis Chapman, or David Robertson. Actually, it's David Robertson. I don't think we need it to be a closer exclusive. So I think it would be Mariano, Edwin, and Robertson. That'd be my third guy.
You don't like Betances?
No.
That's it? No?
Just no. I'm just saying
That's who I voted for.
Okay. That's fine. You can vote for whoever you want.
I'm trying to remember who I voted for.
No, Biggie.
Aroldis Chapman?
No, definitely. It wasn't. I think it was Wagner.
Billy Wagner?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I have my bitterness towards Billy, but...
Yeah, but...
Still. John Franco did... I love John Franco. If we were doing a quarter century team from, like, the other century, I would have voted for him.
Right.
In 2000, I'm sure John would admit this, he wasn't a closer anymore. Like, he wasn't that good. He was okay. I still trusted him, but come on. The rotation. The ace of the Mets-Yankees quarter century team is, of course, number 48, the great Jacob DeGrom. So congratulations to everybody for getting it right. The number 2 starting pitcher is a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. Karsten Charles Sabathia.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I'm mostly with this.
Of course.
Number three is Andy Pettitte. And again, with Andy, you've got to pick apart the fact that you're eliminating some of those earlier years.
Yeah.
But he still was a big contributor before he went to Houston and obviously when he came back. The fourth starter is Gerrit Cole. The fifth starter is Johan Santana. I appreciate the no-hitter. I appreciate the first year he had here. There are a few guys that are egregiously off this list. Like,
were they even votable? Did we could we vote for?
Yes, all these guys could be voted for.
Were they on the list?
They just didn't make it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they included basically everybody on the list. I think that one guy who secretly should have gotten more votes is Al Leiter. Al Leiter was a big part of the 2000 team, was still here in 01, 02, 03, 04. That was his last year with the Mets. I think Al Leiter deserves a lot of credit. This pains me to say it, Tiki, but I am a fair guy. The Rocket Man himself, Roger Clemens. 2000, that World Series don't happen without Roger Clemens. And I don't mean what he did to the Mets. I mean what he did to the Mariners a few weeks earlier. And even 01, he had a great year. Didn't he win the Cy Young in 2001? I think he did. So Roger Clemens deserves some love. Believe it or not, I shouldn't say this out loud. Tom Glavine wasn't bad for a few years when he was here.
He just feels like a Brave.
Matt Harvey had his brief moments. Luis Severino had some moments, but I'm leaving out the guy who should be on it. So if you were going to jump in, there is a guy who, I'm sorry, is ahead of, I think, Johan. I kind of think Gerrit Cole. And that person is number 35, Mike Mussina. Mike Mussina spent his entire Yankee tenure in this quarter century. They signed him after the 2000 season. So he was here in 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, even won 20 games in his final year as a Yankee. Mike Messina's got to make it over Johan Santana despite the no-hitter. I'd even put Messina over Gerrit Cole. Am I crazy to say that, Connor, as a Yankee fan?
No, I would agree with that, I think. Although Cole has pitched in, I mean, Messina pitched in big games, too, and Cole hasn't won a World Series. So I would say Messina because he's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
And he was good for a long period of time.
So those are the mistakes. Anything I miss over there?
No, you laid it out brilliantly.
Thank you.
Clemens, by the way, was the 0-1 Cy Young Award winner in the AL. 3.51 ERA, but he went 20-3.
Yeah, it was a different world.
Different era.
It was also, think about it, Barry Bonds had 73 home runs that season.
Yeah.
So offense was out of whack.
And no Met fan here is going to vote for Roger Clemens. Sorry, we were supposed to take bias out of it, not with him. That's where we draw the line.
I can't stand
He's
that
just
guy.
Just a competitor.
Yeah,
he was a competitor.
Yeah, he just picked up a piece of wood and threw it at somebody. That's all.
He thought it was the ball.
He didn't really get close to hitting him.
Well, he did, and you're wrong, and don't defend him. But you can still take a step back and vote for the guy. You know, for many years around here, I'm not sure if I did this. You were definitely here. I assume I gave you a ballot. If I didn't, I apologize. Me and Ernie Acosta used to produce the Midday Show. We put together fake Hall of Fame votes. And we would go to everybody around here and give them real Hall of Fame ballots and let them fill it out. And it was interesting to see how that would compare to the baseball writers. I would always vote for Roger Clemens for the Hall of Fame. I don't like Roger Clemens. I can't stand Roger Clemens. Your defense of Roger Clemens was weak and pathetic, but that's fine.
He spiked it into the ground.
Whatever. He was trying to maim Mike Piazza.
He was not trying to maim Mike Piazza.
He tried to murder him with an object.
He just thought it was the ball.
Stop it, Connor. Joe Torre's saying that.
No biggie.
Joe Torre's still saying that bothers me. But I can separate the two. Roger Clemens' attempted murder on Mike Piazza.
It was not attempted murder. He's not even looking at him.
I say that with half a smile on my face. But I would still vote for him. Like, he's a great pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. I don't think we should penalize people just because we hate them.
Yeah, but in this list, we have an opportunity to vote for Mets, and that's why you're not going to get a Clemens vote. In the Hall of Fame, he's going up against other potential Hall of Famers. In this spot, you could put Johan. By the way, I agree with you. It should be Messina over Johan, but Clemens is not going to get voted.
But other than DeGrom, who we all agree, and he was the ace, and everyone did a great job voting for him, there's no Met pitcher of this quarter century you should put ahead of Roger Clemens. Seriously, who would you put ahead of him? Would you put Johan or Al Leiter ahead of him?
No, I would put
Matt Harvey. Would you put those guys ahead of him?
El Duque,
it's funny because
Pedro,
like Roger A-Rod didn't get him. He's probably penalized because of the steroids in people's minds, whereas A-Rod is not.
I think he's penalized.
Pettitte was not.
And this will be very interesting at Old Timers Day because Roger Clemens is going to Old Timers Day. He was part of the 2000 team. He's not, you know, making up stories about birthday parties to not show up. Like Roger Clemens is going to be at the alumni old timers game. And if I'm not mistaken, again, fact check me on this, I think this is his first. Like, I don't think Roger Clemens has been at a Yankees old timers day. Roger Clemens has never been a beloved Yankee. He just hasn't. Like, it took him a long time before Yankee fans even liked him. You know, he was a former Red Sox.
Well, that's probably why.
He also didn't fulfill his expectations right away. Mm-hmm. They traded a popular Yankee to get him and David Wells. Like, it took a while before Roger was liked by Yankee fans. And then even when he came back and everybody was excited and, oh, my God, he's in George's box, he wasn't great in 2007. It feels like Yankee fans don't love Roger Clemens. Doesn't mean he wasn't a good Yankee. Doesn't mean he wasn't an incredible contributor to that 2000 team. But I've never gotten the sense that there's a love affair between Roger Clemens and Yankee fans other than when they try to poke Met fans. So I'd be curious, like, even at Old Timers Day, what kind of ovation he truly gets. But I think that's a part of why he didn't do well in a vote like this, that I don't think the Yankee fans around here just like him that much.
Right. I'm rewatching the bat throw now.
Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee.
Does the bat look like a baseball to you, T.P.?
No, it's not even that. It's just, why is Piazza so far down the line?
Because he was running. He didn't know where the ball was.
How did he not know where the ball was?
Because the bat broke. He swung. He did what every little leaguer does.
So he thought it was,
run.
He thought it was the ball also.
No, he didn't think that was the ball. He just didn't know where the ball was.
Okay, the ball went directly into the dugout.
Okay.
So he also thought the bat was the ball.
Are you literally getting on Mike Piazza for running out of the box?
I'm just wondering why he's so far down the line.
I just told you.
Just tell me. I'm just saying. And Clemens spikes it into the ground.
Once he has the bat in his hand, you don't think he realizes this isn't a baseball?
Yeah, maybe.
Excuse me, that's the whole point. You're telling me he thinks it's the ball. As soon as he's holding a bat in his hand, doesn't he know it's not the ball?
But even if it was the ball, why would he then proceed to throw it at Mike Piazza?
You want the answer? I don't want to get sued, but do you want the answer? Because allegedly he was juiced out of his mind. I said allegedly. Am I okay, Teak?
Yeah, you're
Say
fine.
Say it again.
Thank you. Allegedly, he may have been possibly juiced.
Let's forget that the bat, because again, I'm rewatching this. I don't know where Piazza's. Piazza thinks it's the ball also.
He doesn't think it's the ball. He's running to first base.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, he doesn't know where the ball is.
He's looking at Roger Clemens because he thinks he's picking up the ball. Piazza is. He's looking up in the air, then he's looking at Roger Clemens because he thinks Roger Clemens is picking up the ball. Roger Clemens gets hit with the edge of a bat and is pissed off and throws it.
So he's pissed off. He throw a bat. He throws
it
at the
ground.
Okay, so he knows it's not the ball.
He's also not expecting Piazza to be running up the line.
Oh, so it's Mike's fault. Let's blame the victim.
It's not Piazza's fault.
Blame the victim.
It's nobody's fault.
Yeah. Why'd you get in the way of the broken bat, Mike?
He didn't get
throwing it away.
It didn't even get close to him.
Dude, stop.
It did not get close to him. Go re-evaluate this video.
I've re-evaluated it 175 times.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. Mike Piazza. Swings bat. Bat breaks immediately. One is pieces in his hand. Two pieces go towards Roger Clemens. One piece hits Roger Clemens right in the cup. Good thing he has a cup on. Mike Piazza immediately looks up in the air. Then he looks at Roger Clemens because he thinks he's picking up the ball.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He's slowing down at that point, Mike. He knows that. He was running out of the box because he didn't know where the ball was.
Right.
Roger
He thinks Roger's picking up the ball because he doesn't know where the ball
and
is.
And Roger, who's holding a bat in his hand, somehow thinks that's a baseball?
No. I'm not talking about Roger. I'm talking about Piazza.
What does Piazza have to do with it? He didn't throw anything.
I'm not saying he did. I'm asking why he's running, why he's so far down the line.
Because he thinks he doesn't know where the ball
is,
bro. And he's running to first base.
Okay, we're saying the same thing.
I don't like blaming the victim.
I'm not blaming the victim because he wasn't a victim of anything.
He could have been. He was 6 inches away from dying on a baseball.
Was he a victim of getting hit by a bat?
Yeah, he almost physically got assaulted by Roger Clemens. Hmm. And what bothers me is that Mike should have just gone out and tried to beat the crap out of him. Because you know what would have happened if he did that? I'll walk you through this.
Yes.
Mike would have been ejected. So would Roger. And I don't know what happens in Game 2 of the World Series if the Yankees now have to go to their bullpen in the first inning as opposed to Roger Clemens, who twirled an incredible day that day. Mm. He was great that day. Mets were down by a bunch of runs. They had a meaningless home run against Mariano Rivera. And that was it. And they lost. They were down 0-2. So I wanted Mike to go out there and dance. Either way, I was putting Clemens over by merely saying he deserved more consideration and being in the all-time quarter-century rotation. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Speaking of Clemens and Piazza,
just debating this again.
Completely unrelated, but hilarious. So last night, middle of the night, I couldn't sleep.
Okay.
What else is new? I'm watching a YouTube video called Baseball's Greatest Conspiracy Theories.
Yes.
So I saw the Kevin Costner, Cal Ripken one. That's a big conspiracy. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Of course.
I heard a weird one that MLB orchestrated the strike just to not allow a Canadian team to win the World Series in 1994. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I heard is that when Piazza.
Didn't work.
It did work. The Expos didn't win the World Series, and then they moved.
Oh, when did the Blue Jays?
Yeah, not the Blue Jays, when the Expo won. So then we get to Piazza. So do you guys remember when Piazza caught Roger Clemens in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
It was like a big deal. So Clemens got bombed that inning. He gave up a lot of hits. The conspiracy is Mike was telling every batter what was coming.
He pulled the Crash Davis?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I kind of believe the conspiracy.
I mean, that sounds like it, because who cares? Well, yeah. It's not a crime to sports humanity.
No,
it's the All-Star game. Who cares?
I do think All-Star did determine World Series home field advantage at this point, but Mike probably said, I don't care. I want to screw this guy because I hate this guy. So we got to ask Mike. I don't know if he's ever been asked this. He's been asked so many things about Clemens and the bat. I was able to. I'd love to know, all right, it's been 20 plus years. Were you telling hitters what was coming so Roger could get bombed in the All-Star game?
Maybe.
And how great would it be if he's like, yeah.
Of course.
That would be amazing. He's like, yeah, I thought he was scum. I wanted him to get bombed in the All-Star game. That was when Roger was in Houston, obviously in the National League, and Mike was, still with the Mets. And believe it or not, how many Sundays left before the NFL season starts?
Actually, we're less than a few weeks. It might be a few days, right?
Isn't the Hall of Fame game? Eh, it doesn't count.
No, I agree. That one doesn't.
To me, preseason, as I've gotten older, it's the Jets and the Giants. I have a tough time watching anybody else.
Right. I don't care about any of those other games.
No, especially because nowadays, most of the regulars don't even play.
They don't.
They don't play at all.
Exactly.
So you're basically watching a bunch of guys that may never actually be out there. But when the Jets and Giants play, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. We get three. Eventually, are we going to get two? Eventually, we're not going to have preseason games. I don't know if I'll be alive for it, but at some point, we're just going to get a full 20-game season with no preseason.
You might be right, but I think it would just be eliminating the preseason. I don't know if the players are going to want to play 20 games.
Oh, to expand to that amount of games?
Yeah. It's hard for them to get to 18. Now, the union right now is a cluster, and so who knows what actually is going on over there, but the last you heard that the players didn't even want to go to 18.
Mm.
And that feels like it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So I know the owners want it because of the revenue, but the players just don't want to get beat up that much.
I was always a fan of keeping it at 16. Once they went to 17, I kind of need to get it to 18 because the uneven nature of the schedule still
bothers. True, but it also doesn't – it makes it less likely that you're going to have ties.
It makes it less likely. No, it doesn't. Why would it affect that?
Because you're 17 games.
As opposed to 18 games?
No, as opposed to an even number of games.
But you're still playing the same amount of games.
I hear you, but for whatever reason, it feels less likely with an odd number of games that you're going to have ties.
I don't think that's backed up by math.
It's probably not.
But I was going to say, look that up. Football has always been perfect in the symmetry of the 16-game season.
Yeah.
Everything about it. They messed with that going to 17, but it's also tough to complain about more football because who doesn't want more football?
Well, they should have just eliminated preseason games.
Mm.
Just get rid of two games, keep it at 18 or 16 regular season, 18 total games.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done.
Yep. Yep.
Instead, they got rid of one preseason game and added another regular season game.
Exactly. Let's get back to your call. Steve is calling from New Jersey. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Evan, how are you?
We're good.
Welcome
What's
back.
Up? Thanks.
Evan, just wanted to say hello to Tiki as well. Hey, I just had a quick question for you guys. I was just wondering, the Mets, seem to be stressing over center field, but did they forget about Brandon Nimmo, played center field for them for 5 years or so?
I think he's done as a center fielder, though.
I think their actions this year tell you that they don't think he's a center fielder.
Right.
Because when they flirted with the idea of moving McNeil to the outfield, which he's done a lot of, McNeil's played left, McNeil's played right. They easily could have gone McNeil in left, Nimmo in center, Soto in right. They don't do that. The fact that they don't move Brandon Nimmo to center field tells you they have more faith in Jeff McNeil in center field.
Mm-hmm. And last year they brought in Harrison Bader to play center field.
Right.
Who ended up playing more than I think people thought, but clearly they didn't want Brandon Nimmo in center.
They don't. Right now their center field options are Jeff McNeil, Tyrone Taylor, and maybe Jose Siri down the road. What you have to ask yourself if you're David Stearns or you're a Met fan is there anybody out there that you could acquire that's an upgrade over that? And McNeil has played good enough defense in center, and his bat has been solid enough to where I don't think Cedric Mullins is that big of an upgrade. And I don't know if I would have told you that 3 months ago when initially this center field issue was existing. So I think McNeil has done a good enough job where he is the center fielder. And I also think he's done a good enough job that if the Mets could add a bat at third base or second base or DH, you could add a bat that way because McNeil is capable of just being the center fielder with Taylor coming in late in games for
and
defense.
And it doesn't feel like he's averse to it. He seems completely fine.
Yeah.
Playing center field.
And he's looked good out there.
Right.
Which is crazy. Steve in Smithtown, New York. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Quick question. Wanted to see the most realistic trade, unbiased, IBO perspective for the Yankees for, let's say, third baseman for, let's say, Suarez. And in the Mets case, for the top closer, let's say, Griffin Jacks or maybe Duran or Class A. And what it will take for you guys to get one of those guys.
I think that Griffin Jacks is going to cost you a lot less than Duran. Duran's going to cost you a major, major haul.
Right, because he's one of the best in the business. Right
and now. He's under team control.
Right.
And he's young. And so does David Stearns. Number one, are the Twins and the Guardians willing to trade elite-level young closers in the prime of their career under team control? If the answer is yes, what's the cost going to look like? And I have a tough time believing that David Stearns is going to be willing to give up a huge amount of prospect capital for a relief pitcher. So my guess is that the relievers they add are going to be more lottery ticket arms.
Like he did last year.
Yes. Now, Griffin Jacks would be more, I think, improvement than what they did last year. I think it's also going to cost them more. As far as the Yankees are concerned, you look around and you say, okay, who are the third basemen or middle infielders that are even available? And I keep going back to St. Louis because I think they're going to sell. Like the Cardinals right now are a game above 500. Are they looking at the bottom half of the National League saying, boy, we got to go for it? And I think between Nolan Arenado and Brendan Donovan, I mean, those are two damn good pieces that could fit this team. Obviously, the Arenado issue is the fact that he's so declined offensively and he makes so much money that you need St. Louis to pick up a big part of it.
Yeah.
But if you just drop Nolan Arenado onto the New York Yankees, they're better.
Right.
Like, first of all, his offense is a lot better than Oswald Peraza, despite the decline. And B, he still plays platinum glove defense at third base.
Obviously, the apple of everybody's eye, especially the Yankees, because it seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about with the Yankees is Suarez.
Right.
But what are you giving up for him?
I think he's going to cost a lot.
Agreed. And that's something that you got to weigh. Now, would Brian Cashman do that? Maybe. Would David Stearns do that? I don't think so.
No, I don't think the Mets are going after a third baseman. No. I don't think they're going after a bat. Right. I think they'll talk about bats, but like I think they'll be interested in the Luis Robert Jr. if he becomes available. I think they'd listen on Cedric Mullins if he's available. I think they would talk about Duran if he's available. Mm-hmm. But I doubt they're going to make a big move. The Yankees are clearly going to add a third baseman. The question is, what level is it? Is it Nolan Arenado? Is it Brendan Donovan? Is it Eugenio Suarez? Like, where's it coming from? Do they go to Minnesota? You know, you got to find the teams that are willing to sell. Like, there's a rumor now the Pirates are willing to listen on O'Neill Cruz. Okay, well, a couple things about O'Neill Cruz. The Pirates are playing him in the outfield.
Right.
So, would the Yankees bring in O'Neill Cruz and put him back at, dare I say, shortstop? Where all of a sudden Anthony Volpe's in a little bit of trouble? Or, and this isn't crazy as it's going to sound off the top, would the Yankees trade for O'Neill Cruz and say, well, he's 6'7". Let's play him at third base.
Maybe.
They did it with Jazz last year.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that makes Yankee fans feel good.
Has he ever
good.
Played?
No.
Third?
He's a shortstop and now a center fielder.
Okay, but at least he's the left side of the infield. So, I mean, it actually might work.
He's also 6'7". So you look at him and say, he's more of a third baseman than a shortstop anyway.
Of course.
But.
Yeah, but Ella De La Cruz is also 6'1".
I know.
5'6", whatever the heck he is.
I get you.
He's rangy, and he's great at shortstop.
O'Neill Cruz would be so fascinating because he's still young. He's got oodles of potential. But would the Yankees really acquire someone and then put them in a position they're not used to?
I mean,
considering what they're
going. They did it with Jazz, though, last year.
I know, but would they do it again?
I don't know.
At that point.
See, how much did he play at all? At third base. In
he's
career.
Never played third
Ever.
Base.
He's never done.
No, he's a shortstop and an outfielder 6'7", now.
240.
Yeah. But he's already stolen 30 bases this year. He hits for a lot of pop. He hasn't hit for a high average, but he's one of those guys who has all this talent. And you're like, man, he could be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Pirates made him available, I don't know. Would you be intrigued by that? Would you go after him for the Metsies? A little center field action. Is that too risky?
With O'Neill Cruz, the talent's there, but
he's so athletic, though.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, but
just
The effort's not always there with him.
Yeah. Well, think because where he's playing sometimes.
Exactly.
It's,
Put him on this team.
It's kind of the same conversation we're having about Lewis Robert.
Yeah, but I'd like the effort to be there even if you're on a basement team. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't matter how good your team is. You should always hustle. I mean, that one ball that got past him, and he literally didn't even run after it.
Right? I know,
but he's 26. He'll be 27 in a couple months.
Yeah, he's got scary talent.
Put him in an environment where Mendy's the manager, where Lindor is the captain,
that's
named
fair.
Or not.
Good points.
Now, Soto doesn't run all the time, but he is respected by everybody. I don't think O'Neill Cruz would come here and lollygag.
I certainly hope not. Now, it would be hard to pass on his potential. He's just scary good. So as far as
I'd go after him if I'm the best.
And he's long.
What was that?
He's long.
He's very long.
But I would have...
And you know what they say. I don't know what they say.
I would have Lindor and Mendy sit him down, though, immediately and say, this is not the way we do things around here. And if you do that, we're going to bench you.
Yeah, he actually fits more with the Mets than the Yankees. Because the Mets could say, all right, you're the center fielder. Now, do you want to do that in the middle of a pennant race right now? It may feel sort of risky. In the Yankees' case, they don't need a center fielder. And are they going to put him at shortstop to dethrone Anthony Volpe? I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans would like that. And would they actually move him to third base and go again with a person out of position? I don't know about that.
Yeah, because if you do that and it doesn't work, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Thank you, SNY, for joining us as always. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealer.
Frank in Rockland, New York. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up? Yo.
All right, calling about the quarter century team. I didn't hear R.A. Dickey's name get mentioned.
Because as great of a story as R.A. was, I mean, the guy won a Cy Young. He was incredible.
It was quick, though.
It was brief. It was 3 years, and then they traded him. I mean, the best part of R.A. Dickey's legacy is the trade, is the fact that they turned him as a 37-year-old knuckleballer coming off a Cy Young into Noah Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud. Like, that's pretty impressive.
All right.
And even though Syndergaard and d'Arnaud never fully lived up to their potential, they lived up to their potential enough where they got to the World Series a few years later. Yeah, I think there's still something left on the table with Noah and Travis, unfortunately. But you have to admit, the fact that they traded the guy and then 2.5 years later, both guys are big contributors to a team in the World Series, you'd have to admit it's an all-time great trade. John up in Syracuse. What's up, John?
Hey, I am all with positive Tommy. I'm not rooting for the Yankees. As a matter of fact, I will never root for the Yankees. I don't care who they're playing. I'm rooting for the Phillies this weekend.
Are you a Mets fan?
I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Mets fan.
Do you want to win the division? Do you want to win the division?
Yes, but I can't stand the Yankees. I hate the Yankees that much that I will root for the hated Braves and Phillies over the Yankees.
So I want to talk to you as a friend, as a therapist, not as someone who's going to, like, berate you. What the hell's wrong with you? Like, don't you want to win? Like, our chances of succeeding, our chances of winning are impacted if the Yankees can help us out over 3 games against the Phillies.
Maybe my friends are right. Maybe I hate the Yankees more than I like the Mets.
Well, I think that's the answer. Right. And I think that's the answer to everybody. That's the answer to Tommy. It's the answer to maybe my dad. It's the answer to our last caller. If you are easily rooting for the Yankees over the Phillies this weekend, then, I'm sorry, rooting for the Phillies over the Yankees this weekend.
Or refusing to root for the Yankees.
Or refusing to root for the Yankees, then you just hate the Yankees more than you like the Mets. I've been accused of that with the Nets, that I hate the Knicks more than I like the Nets. That's not true. At every turn, I've always said, I'd rather my basketball team have success. And if it means the Knicks have to do something to help me, I'll take it. So I think that just says a lot about you guys. You hate the Yankees more than you like the Mets.
Can I just clear my name here? Because John said, like positive Tommy, I'm rooting for the Phillies this weekend. I am not rooting for the Phillies this weekend. I never once said I was. And then you guys, me too, like clumping me in with your dad. And John, I'm not in the
Are you rooting for the Yankees?
Say it this way.
No,
Yankees. A rolling, extremely dude heavy.
What the heck is that?
Are you rooting for the Yankees, Tommy?
Let's just put it this way.
Let's put it this way. It's a yes or no question. Are you rooting for the Yankees this weekend?
My focus this weekend is on the Mets.
Who do you want to win the Yankees-Philly series?
The team not from Philadelphia.
See, the fact that you have to play these games shows me that you're like our last caller. You hate the Yankees more than you like the Mets.
No, I think I'm standing on principle and business. And I think a lot of more people should do that. It shouldn't be bullied by you because you like to bully other fans.
I'm not bullying
you. What kind of fan are you? You're not a real Met fan.
Well, it's math. I mean, it's simply math here.
No, it's not math. It's your game.
The Mets chance. It's not my game. The Mets chance. I mean, Tiki.
Yes.
Do the Mets have a better chance of winning the NL East if the Yankees beat the Phillies this weekend?
Yes, they do.
So then, what game? It's just real.
I'm not.
In fact, it'd be better if they swept them.
Yeah, it'd be amazing if they swept them.
Just sweep them.
But that's it.
It would be great if the Phillies lost every single game for the rest of the season.
And when they play the Angels, let's go Angels. And when they play the Red Sox, let's go Red Sox. And when they play the Yankees, let's go Yankees.
Yankees. Booing damage. Maybe I'll come to work tomorrow.
Yeah, all day tomorrow. We're going to hear a positive Tommy with the Yankees. Yankees are going to have a big weekend. Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. John and Maspeth. John, don't you appreciate the fact that I'm a Yankee fan this weekend?
You know, I really don't care, man, because I don't, you know, I really don't care.
All right.
All right. So, you know, yesterday I'm browsing through Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and I see a little tweet, you know, Mets fans celebrating such as positive Tommy about the Mets attendance. You know, they got over 250,000 people on a 6-game homestand. They had 4 sellouts. Or as us Yankee fans call it, a typical week at the stadium, right? But what they don't, you know, show you is all the gimmicks the Mets had to do to get people in the door.
Johnny.
You know, Saturday they had to retire.
Johnny.
You know, the captain that never won an MVP or a ring. Sunday they had to give away the bobblehead. Monday they had WWE night, Tuesday they had $5 beer and $5 hot dog. So they run these gimmicks to get people in the door. They don't tell you that,
John,
part, though.
John, your team is giving away an Anthony Volpe bobblehead tomorrow night.
Okay, well, what do we get on these? Okay, well, first of all,
I mean,
I'm sure
you
about
do
the
it
Anthony
too.
Volpe bobblehead.
But you do
you
it
get
too.
The Anthony Volpe bobblehead. Just go tear off the goddamn arm, you know?
Listen, this is how you know things have hit rock bottom for John and Maspeth. He can't attack Soto. He can't attack the Mets because they had a good week.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are right now a disaster. So he has resorted on July 24th to mocking the giveaways the Mets have and saying that's the only reason they've had 40,000 people for 11 straight games. That's all you need to know. I don't even need to argue it. All I need to do is lay out that that's John's argument to know where he is right now as a Yankee fan.
The Mets fan just decided to commit this year. That's all it was.
100%.
Give him credit.
I think giveaways help.
You have
no,
to give
no
him
doubt.
Credit. Of
it's
course. Not because of the giveaways.
But it's not because of the giveaways. Because look at yesterday. Yesterday was a Wednesday afternoon against the Angels with no giveaway, and they had 41,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just jacking big crowds every single night. And as I look ahead, they got fireworks night. When they come home, they have Francisco Alvarez bobblehead night.
That's gimmick.
They've got mini kids bat day.
Gimmick.
And then I don't think anything for the rest of the Cleveland series. So, and watch, they'll get 40,000 for all those games. I think Met fans are excited. I think Met fans are in a good place. So, yeah, last year I think he's right. They needed to be bribed to go to games. I don't think that's the case this year.
So you're saying Met fans, because let me just, I heard you, but I want to make sure I heard you.
Yeah.
Mets fans are excited because the Mets are jacking the fans up this year? They're jacking everything up? Is that what you said?
What's going on, T?
One thing,
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I have the audio here. I think Connor will play it for in a second here. And then Evan could be on trial, and he could be put on the stand, and he could defend what he
said. I don't even know what I'm on trial for.
Well, I'm going to get the audio in just 1 second here because you're saying Mets fans are excited. By the way, John, the giveaways and everything the Mets do this year, they've always done. It's not the first time they've done a dollar hot dog night.
And by the way, they would have those giveaways. They would draw nobody. So it didn't always work. You know what I mean? The Brewers series didn't have any giveaways, and they had 40,000 people. So, all right, where's the audio? You got nothing.
We can't edit it if my mic's on. So I have to
turn my mic
off. Well,
then shut your mouth. Why are you blabbing all the time?
You just asked me a question.
No, you're the one who couldn't wait to talk.
Biggie.
All right, you want to talk to someone who went to WrestleMania 1?
WrestleMania 1? Okay, definitely.
Speaking of WrestleMania, is now with Hulk Hogan passing away, the last WrestleMania main event that features both people still alive is WrestleMania 12, Bret Hart against Shawn Michaels. The first 11 WrestleMania main events feature at least one of the combatants not walking God's green earth anymore. Greg in White Plains was at the original WrestleMania. What was that like, Greg?
I got to tell you, it was, let me lead up to it. You know, wrestling for me was watching it on Channel 9 on Sunday mornings, watching Black and White, Gorilla Monsoon, Haystacks Calhoun, you know, Bruno Sammartino, you know. And then I actually got to see Bruno when they did an event at the Westchester County Center in the mid-1970s when I was about 15 years old. So rolling forward, you know, I had been to a lot of sporting events by 1985. And when I walked in with my client to, we had third row ringside seats, I was just blown away.
Wow.
Because I didn't think wrestling, the impact of it. I mean, plus the amount of people that, you know, you had Billy Martin there as a referee.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. You had, I mean, the celebrities were incredible. What's funny about WrestleMania 1 is I recognize its importance, and Hogan obviously main evented it in a tag team match. I recognize its importance. I recognize what it did, but the event was terrible. Like, I've gone back and watched it. It's a very bad event.
Well, I mean, they're just learning what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
No, I'm not even criticizing. Nobody
knew how to do that.
I'm not even criticizing. I'm just saying, like, a lot of the matches ended in DQ. They were boring. It wasn't a good event. It doesn't hold up well. Sure. Certain events do. Like, I think if you go back and watch WrestleMania 3, it holds up very well. I think WrestleMania 5 holds up very well. But that first one is just... It's a disaster.
I have found the audio from Evan Roberts from a few minutes ago.
All right.
Connor, please.
I think they're just jacking big crowds every single night.
How can Met fans not be excited?
What's your reaction to that, T?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the usage of the word.
I think they're just jacking big crowds every single night.
You're trying to like, get them in trouble for it.
Yeah, you're trying.
No. I'm not trying to get you in trouble for anything. I'm not going to. I
mean, fans are jacked up. That's an actual term.
And the Mets are jacking them.
Be careful over there.
I'm careful.
Trying to get me in trouble.
I'm not
He's going
to
be the one
you.
In trouble.
Getting in trouble.
More of your calls next. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.